Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mason and Ireland. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. We covered a lot in that first hour. Aaron Donald, will he or won't he be disciplined for swinging those helmets? According to one NFL analyst, Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's not even close. Jorge would rather have four arms than four legs.
But that wheel was a weird wheel today. It was a fun one. It was fun.
Yeah, no, but that was good. So now we turn our attention to the Lakers. They made a big move. Made it official yesterday. Patrick Beverley traded from the Utah Jazz to the Lakers in exchange for Talen Horton Tucker and Stanley Johnson. And nobody covers the Lakers better than Jovan Buha from The Athletic. The best thing about his articles is he does really deep dives, oftentimes backing them up with video, and you can
I feel like he watches the games five times.
Yeah, you can actually see everything. And Jovan, nice enough to join us now. Jovan, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, appreciate you coming on. You know, the one thing that I know everybody is kind of taking as an excerpt out of your story that is a little bit surprising is when you wrote this. Patrick Beverley's arrival makes it more likely that Westbrook will be off the active roster by the start of training camp, either through a trade or the team sending him home, a la the Rockets with John Wall last season, according to a source. Jovan, I think when people read that, they assume that you're reporting it. If you look at your words carefully, you just say more likely, which means it could go either way. Now that you've written it and kind of put it into the universe, do you feel, just personally with everything you know, that Russ will be on the roster when the season starts?
I think I was careful with my wording there. I think it's more likely than not that he is not. I think that Patrick Beverley gives them a level of insurance against trading Russell Westbrook or potentially sending him home. Insofar as, you know, this is a guy that has been a starter on recent playoff teams with the Clippers and with the Timberwolves, and the Lakers didn't really have that option. I mean, Kendrick Nunn could potentially get there with the way that he played in Miami his first couple of years, but he's coming off missing all of last season. So I think the Lakers, looking at it, you know, most of their trades, aside from the Kyrie Irving trade, would not be bringing back a point guard. So in that scenario, you know, if they did, for example, the Indiana deal, they'd be getting back Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, but you don't really have a point guard to replace Russ necessarily in that starting group. So I think what Pat does is it allows them to get more aggressive in their pursuit of a Russell Westbrook trade. And in the more dramatic scenario that Russ is not on board with doing the things that Darvin Ham has been asking him to do, I think they're more confident with, hey, we now have a little, you know, we have more leverage in these talks with him where, okay, if you don't want to, you know, play harder defensively and take smarter shots and take care of the ball and be more of a role player in your offensive role, well, we have a guy in Pat who can come in and start. And then we have a guy in Kendrick Nunn who we're confident in as a backup. So I think it really kind of hedges against the potential outcomes of Russ not being on the roster. And they just feel more comfortable now with their point guard rotation.
So there are two ways Russ would not be on a roster. Okay, this isn't hypothetical. One would be via trade, and the other would be them just, he's on the roster, but they tell him not to show up, right? They John Wall him for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is more likely?
A trade. I think LeBron's signing the 1+1 extension, I think sets the Lakers on the clock, so to speak, a little bit with just, hey, we have LeBron and AD for two more years. They're on the exact same timeline. And I think it gives them that reassurance that, hey, if we make more of a win now move, because trading for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner will eat into their cap space for next summer. You know, part of the motivation with the Pat Beverley, Talen Horton Tucker trade was Talen Horton Tucker had has an $11 million player option for the 2023-24 season. And the Lakers viewed that as a lose-lose situation of if Talen plays well, he's probably opting out and he's going to get a bigger deal.
Yeah.
If he plays poorly, he's going to opt in. And now we have to eat that $11 million on our cap. So by trading for Pat, who's going to be a free agent, they cleared the Talen salary off of their cap sheet. But trading for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner is an impending free agent. You know, the assumption would be if you're trading for him, you're probably going to try to re-sign him. And then Buddy Hield has one more year left at $19 million. So you are taking on additional money in that deal. And I think if LeBron is going to be a free agent and you don't know that he's going to stay in L.A., that's a bit of a concern. But if you know LeBron's going to be there in 2023-24, which the Lakers now know, then I think you feel more comfortable taking on that additional salary with Buddy Hield and maybe not having the appropriate cap space next summer. So I think in that deal or another, you know, I think another possibility is them getting involved in the Donovan Mitchell conversation and potentially making that a three-team trade. There are different variations there where maybe you get Bojan Bogdanovic back and someone back from New York to kind of make the salary work, and they could send picks out to the Jazz and maybe only one pick in that scenario, and you keep that second first-round pick. So there are different ways that they can approach it with the Russ situation. I think a trade is more likely than sending him home, but you know, all indications are he has not really changed his stance. You know, I think going back to his agent's statement that came out a few weeks ago, like reading between the lines there, it was very clear that they were on different pages with where Russ is at in his career and with the way he should be approaching next season. So, you know, maybe he can have a change of heart in the upcoming weeks and approach next year differently. But if he's still viewing himself as that all-star level player who should have the ball in his hands and should be the leading guy offensively, that player is not going to work on this current Lakers roster with LeBron and AD. So that is where I think they would then pivot and say, hey, maybe we need to go in a different direction.
We're talking to Jovan Buha, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic and has a long article out that you guys should read that basically breaks down where the Lakers stand now that they've traded for Pat Beverly. Jovan, is Kyrie still on the Lakers' radar either later this season or perhaps next year when he's a free agent? And are those two things related, like what you just talked about? Would they maybe hesitate on an Indiana deal because it would commit him to Buddy Hield for next year and that might not give him the cap space they need for Kyrie? I just wonder if at all Kyrie figures into their plan now.
Yes, I do, from what I've heard, believe that Kyrie is still a factor. I mean, I think even if you look at the recent developments in Brooklyn, you know, the contingent then went out to LA did not feature Kyrie. There was no, you know, in that joint statement that they released, there was no mention. You know, they could have said something along the lines of, oh, you know, KD and Kyrie are aligned and you know, looking forward to the future of the Nets. There was nothing of that sort. And there really has been no subsequent reporting on Kyrie and his status. And I think the assumption around the league right now is that he's most likely staying put, but I don't think that's a certainty. Now, I do think the Lakers' best, you know, move is to just move on and really treat it as, you know, we need to explore other options, just because I think if Brooklyn is keeping Kevin Durant, which, you know, all indications are that they are, they're going to be looking for a competitive package for Kyrie Irving. And I don't think, you know, trading for Russell Westbrook and two first round picks, you know, keeps them competitive. I think that's obviously a downgrade for them. And you also have the history of KD and Russ. So I don't see that as a viable option as long as they are keeping Kevin Durant and trying to be competitive. I think Russ would probably have to be rerouted to a third team in that scenario. But next summer, for sure, Kyrie is on their radar. I think they probably would be the favorites to land Kyrie. It's ultimately going to come down to how much cap space they have. Right now, they could create about $35 million or so in cap space, which would be on the low end for Kyrie. He'd probably have to take a bit of a pay cut, but there's probably a way to finagle it where you get him a little extra money. But I think Kyrie is definitely a factor. But that situation, I mean, the Brooklyn situation has dominated all summer. And
sure,
going back and forth with KD wants out, now he's back, he still wants out, now he's back again. Like, I think that the Lakers are kind of done waiting on that situation to resolve itself. So I think they're exploring the Indiana possibility, Utah, maybe a San Antonio or an OKC, you know, a couple teams that could facilitate it, you know, just with their rebuilding efforts and their, you know, financial kind of situations. Those teams could maybe enter the mix as three-team partners. But I think for right now, Kyrie is still definitely on their radar. But it, you know, with the way things have played out and Kevin Durant not being available, I think subsequently, you know, Kyrie is less likely than before.
Jovan, when you think about a Westbrook trade, and I'm always thinking big picture, not just who goes, where he would go or who he would be traded for, et cetera, if this can materialize. The bigger question for me with Russ is, if he gets traded, does he get traded to a place where he would actually play? I don't know the answer to that at this point, right? If he gets traded, does he go to a place where he'd actually play? What's your sense of that, of the rest of the league's appetite for it, to having him on their
team? My sense is probably not. You know, it really, again, to your point, kind of depends on the team and what their motivations are. Like, I still think for all that, you know, the negative kind of talk surrounding Russ and the season that he had, I still think that there are scenarios in which he could help a team, you know, make the play-in tournament or be a lower tier playoff team. I mean, kind of similar to the season that he had in Washington a couple years ago. I just think that the fit with the Lakers in particular was never really there to begin with, and it probably played out worse than even, you know, the pessimists were kind of projecting last season. So I think it depends. You know, most teams are viewing it as an asset situation and just an opportunity to get assets from the Lakers, be it, you know, one or two picks, and then also potentially clearing out you know, outgoing salary and, you know, in Indiana's case, for example, you know, getting Buddy Hield off the books for the 23-24 season, or in a potential Utah trade, you know, shedding some salary there. So I think teams are more viewing him as just, hey, this is a giant expiring contract that we can get some longer term money off of our books and recoup some assets from the Lakers. And who knows what, you know, we don't know what the Lakers are going to look like 3, 4, 5 years down the road. So maybe those picks are very valuable. You know, maybe those are lottery picks at the end of the decade. So I think that's more of how teams are viewing him. And then it's going to, you know, so I would say more of the options are probably a team looking to buy him out or potentially do their own version of sending him home and just saying, hey, we're going to pay you until the trade deadline and then look to move you. So I think it's less about an actual basketball fit and more about Russ as a giant expiring contract.
Jovan, this is a really good piece, as usual for you. I mean, I love the way you always go into such detail on these things. And thanks very much for spending a few minutes with us. I encourage everybody to go find this on The Athletic. And Jovan, I'll be seeing you regularly soon. October 3rd is game one, right?
Yeah, and then media day September 26th. So I'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, thanks for doing this, man. Have a great weekend.
Great talking to you both.
All right, there's Jovan Buha from The Athletic. Coming up next, dating advice from a very unusual source. Stay tuned for that. Momo Informace, I'm John Ireland.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, Jorge, I got this Momo special. Yeah. Did you get any pineapple bits in it?
I didn't.
It's not in it.
They forgot to put your pineapple in your drink?
I mean,
it's an outrage.
Isn't that what makes it the Momo special?
That's the special part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the peach juice and iced tea is good, but it's just kind of like peach iced tea.
I'd send it
back. You need the little pineapple bits. And it says pineapple bits on here. They just forgot.
That's not right. All right, if you listen to the show, you know that I tend to give Bergman unsolicited dating advice on a fairly regular basis.
We all do.
My my number one edict to him is to find an heiress. I want him to find a girl. It's just,
I'm searching.
Yes. And Greg, since I knew you were searching, when I saw this, I thought of you. I love
you.
Nikki Glaser, the comedian.
Yes.
I think she's very, very funny.
The best. Is she the heiress?
Could be.
Oh, that'd be
great.
Well,
as you'll hear in this,
she would rip me apart,
She breaks up with her boyfriend like once a month.
A month.
That will come up here. Nikki is on Jimmy Kimmel Live this week, and she went to the farmer's market over off of 3rd Street.
Yep.
And she just decided to, she's had some bad luck dating. She decided to ask 5 and 6 year olds about her dating life, and here's how it went.
Okay, why do people kiss?
Because they think it's lovely.
They think it's lovely? Yeah, okay. What if your date is a bad kisser?
Maybe just break up.
You break up? I have broken up with my boyfriend 6 or 7 times. Do you think it's gonna last? We're together now.
No.
Thanks for shooting it to me straight. What's your perfect date? Where would you take them?
A concert of the Jurassic World soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, that's every girl's dream. What's your love language?
Bacon.
I think they just added that one, actually. When is it okay to ghost someone?
When you die.
Yeah, that is an appro- that's maybe the only time it's okay to ghost someone. What's a red flag on a first date?
He's ugly?
It's so true. Cohen, do you think I'll ever marry someone?
No.
Why? What's wrong with me?
Maybe they won't like your outfit.
Okay. What about my outfit?
Maybe the shoes.
Okay, so you don't like the shoes. I would like to point out that you're wearing Batman sandals. Is that correct? But you don't like my shoes. All right, Cohen, I think we're done here.
Yeah!
All right, so Bergman, there's several helpful things in there. Number one, love language, bacon.
Oh, bacon, yeah.
Ideal date, the Jurassic Park concert of the soundtrack.
Yep. That could be at the Hollywood Bowl for all
I
know.
Yeah, very, very helpful. Yep. Red flag, if your date is ugly, you might not want to pursue that.
Well, it depends if she's an heiress.
Yeah. Well, you know, the hard thing
is... Yeah, that's a good question.
The hard thing if you do meet an heiress is you probably have some things now that are deal breakers that you may need to adjust. For example, tell me if these are deal breakers for you.
Okay.
Could you date someone who is politically opposite of you? So in other words, wherever you are on the political spectrum, they're the opposite.
Are they heiresses?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Momo?
Yes.
You could date Jorge? Could you date someone politically opposite of you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See,
I could. It would be harder now.
Mason never could.
No.
I could.
Yeah. I don't.
I would say, like, if you had asked me growing up, I would have said yes, no problem. Nowadays, we're very polarized in this country. So, like, the opposite would be hard. I could still do that.
Okay.
I could.
What?
But it's getting hard.
Momo, you first. What if they smoke?
Probably not.
Greg?
Again, heiress?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jorge?
Nah, deal breaker.
See, Greg, this is very tough for me because I normally that's been a deal breaker for me forever. But if she's an heiress, I think you got to work with
it. There we go.
Okay.
I would, that's been a deal breaker for me ever since I was in college. I've never considered when I was in Texas, this super good looking girl was kind of into me and she smoked and I put up with it.
Yeah.
Didn't last very long.
Yeah, it won't last. Okay, what about, so this question gets asked of women all the time because, you know, it's far more common for a young woman to date a wealthy older man.
Correct.
And,
or as they say at Laker games, they take their niece to the games.
Right. What if, I could probably date someone who smelled. Because that's
like body odor?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fixable.
It's fixable, but that's a tough conversation.
It's a tough one, but I could get over that. They'd have to be a really cool person.
Heiress?
Yeah.
She's an heiress and she smells. I'll live with it.
Can you fix that?
Yeah.
You can fix it. Let's go take a shower, okay, honey.
Could you date someone who is like really mean? Like a mean person. Like
Are they mean to me?
Yeah.
Okay, like, this is tough.
That's hard. But like a mean person. But like she's mean really to good. Dogs, really, mean to you and yeah. mean to everyone around
really,
her.
She's really good looking and yeah. she has a lot of money, but yeah. she's mean.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Greg, this is the toughest
That's
one.
That's a hard
this
one.
This is the hardest
this
one.
Is the hardest
Smelling
one.
And mean is hard.
She stinks. She's mean, but she's great looking and has a lot of money. Greg, nothing that a box of deodorant and charm school won't fix.
She ain't going to charm school, that's for sure. Here's the thing. My ex-wife was not an heiress and was very mean, so I've already been down that road before.
So does that mean you could handle it if you had to do it again or that you would stay away from it?
Yes, because I know how to handle it
now. Okay.
So mean is fine if she's an heiress.
Greg, here's one that may or may not come up. What if she eats every meal in bed?
Oh man, that's a deal breaker. That's it. I'm out.
Jorge,
I'm out.
Okay, no. So let's. This is a little bit of a twist on smell.
Okay.
What if they're just? What if she's really gross? Like just gross.
Like picking her nose. Scratching her armpits.
In public or just private?
All the time. Like a total
slob. Like it's
slob.
Well known that she's a slob.
Her car is disgusting. Like she smells gross. Like the clothes are kind of dirty.
What's her net worth?
that changes it all.
10 mil.
Oh, yeah. For 10 mil, I'll put up with pink
pants. No. 10 mil, I could spend pretty quick. We got to go a little bit higher here. We're talking heiress level. We're going like a couple hundred million, you know?
100 mil.
Yeah. Then we can start talking about it.
But isn't it interesting how, depending on what the whole package is, the stuff you're willing to change?
Yeah.
Like Mason always said he would never date anyone who smoked or had a headshot, and Juan, his current partner, both.
Yeah.
Is an actor.
Yeah.
I don't think he smokes anymore, but used to. Mason just said, I'll put up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, more people will put up with it than anything else.
I think gross would be hard for me.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I liked about Nevin when I met him. He was not gross. Like, a lot of boys are gross. He always smells good. He's like, he has good grooming habits. You know, like, I have a friend. Her husband is gross. Like, leaves Kleenexes.
Does she know it?
Yeah.
And she just puts up with it?
She's kind of gross, too.
What's her name?
She's kind of gross, too. Like I go to visit them, and they have, like,
you wear,
leave,
you wear
like,
a mask for no reason?
I found myself, like, cleaning their bathroom.
You
I'm
walk,
like, I
you
just
walk
can't
in
be
in a
here.
Hazmat
like,
suit? Ramona, oh, what's wrong?
Oh, like, I'm nursing right now. I can't
around the house. And I'm like, these are used tissues. Throw away your boogery tissues. This is gross.
Yeah, that is a little gross.
Gross.
Does Nevin wear cologne?
He used to, doesn't anymore.
So this is an interesting, what we're
it
talking
smells
about
good, though.
Is interesting.
Yeah.
There
takes
is
a lot of showers.
There's this girl, I brought this up on the show before. There's this girl who's like an Instagram model, who's like the best looking woman on Instagram. Like unbelievable. And she dates a lot of famous athletes.
Uh-huh.
And it appears, based on past Instagram posts, that this girl is, and I'm not making this up, she's racist.
Oh.
I mean, she uses the N-word.
Oh.
Like she's ugly. Like an ugly person. But she's so good looking that she's never going to have problems meeting guys because she's like unbelievable. But I showed her, like I showed her picture to like 10 of my friends, all who are like normal people. I said, so you couldn't put up with her like being a racist, right? And they're all like, I could. For her, I could.
Really?
Like people will look the other way.
I don't think I could.
I don't know why I could.
No, I couldn't be racist. I couldn't do smoking.
Yeah, eventually you know how that's going to end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to end badly for you and her.
There was an episode of Friends where I think Ross dated a girl who was gross. It was like, didn't Cameron Diaz play her?
Was it Cameron Diaz? It might have been, but yeah, she had like rats coming out of a bag of chips.
They were like making out, and she'd be like, he'd find something in the couch, like, oh, look at I keep doing this.
Yeah.
didn't he like go there and start cleaning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stuff you'll put up with, as this whole conversation has indicated, the stuff you'll put up with if the person
mean,
is super hot
smelly,
is surprisingly... I
super
didn't think
hot
I'd
and rich.
Bergman, I don't think we can. Until we got to the racist stuff, I think we were willing to put up with anything.
All of it, yeah. I wasn't going to put up with the racist stuff. That's where it got to be too much. I mean, anything with kids. Like, if you're mean to kids,
or
that's,
dogs.
Then I'm out.
Can't be mean to dogs.
No.
All right. That's no
It was
good.
Rebecca Romijn, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who played the gross girl?
Yeah.
See, Rebecca Romijn, I would put up with a lot of gross.
Right.
Yeah, I would put up with a lot of gross. All right, you might be surprised to learn what a top NFL wide receiver's go-to food place is. We'll share that with you next. Still to come this hour, Bobcat, Game of Games today. Game of Games is very close. I think in, what have we had, Greg, 7 months so far this year? I think I've won 5 and you've won 2.
Yep.
Nobody else ever wins except me and Bergman, and Bergman has the lead today, 4-3 over me. Momo has 2, so she's in it. Jorge's game today, so that's all coming up. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Momo, Ramona Shelburne is in for Mace.
Been a good week, right?
Yeah, easy week. Good, fun week, and Mason will be back on Monday. Devontae Smith, who won the Heisman Trophy at Alabama a couple of years ago, last year was a rookie wide receiver for the Eagles. And so a lot of people think he's going to have a breakout year this year. You know, players now, particularly professional athletes, are all very – they have their own – trainers, their own chefs, their own workout routine, everything. So this was kind of refreshing yesterday when Devontae Smith was asked, what do you like to eat? What do you like to do when you're not here at the practice facility? Do you guys know what Wawa is? W-A-W-A?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like a convenience store. Yeah, it's like 7-Eleven. So Devontae Smith was talking to a bunch of reporters yesterday, and here's what he said.
Oh, you know what's crazy? I got a Wawa addiction, honestly. Wawa sandwiches is just, I don't know. I literally eat one every day for some reason.
Which one's your favorite, yeah?
The honey turkey.
Oh, you like the meatball?
No.
No?
I'm not going
to. Now, this is Mason going to Starbucks to eat. What's that? Pull up his order, Greg, when he goes to Starbucks. Oh, yeah, and it's some pre-made sandwich that's been in a plastic container for I mean, here's Mason's whole Starbucks order.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Let me start with you.
I'd like a reduced fat turkey, bacon, and cheddar.
Okay.
I'd like 3 Trenta iced passion teas. No cane sugar, no lemonade, but please add 3 stevias.
So 3 teas, right?
Yep, 3.
Passion iced teas, no liquid cane, 3 stevia.
Yep. And then I'd like a venti iced almond milk quad latte.
Okay.
Add 2 stevias to that.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yep. That's it.
All right, so, yeah, that's
awesome.
It.
I can't repeat
any of that order, but he gets the turkey bacon cheddar thing like Devontae Smith gets the Wawa honey turkey sandwich. What's your guilty pleasure in terms of food? And I realize I'm asking someone who has just had a baby.
Yeah, so I eat a lot right now.
Yeah, you probably and probably leading up to it, right?
Oh, and not as much because I had the gestational diabetes. I couldn't eat anything.
Okay, so what, but though, is the thing that if I discovered you eating it, you would be a little embarrassed, but not enough not to eat it?
Well, every day on the drive home from the studio, there is a test, right? Am I going to stop at that Jack in the Box or not?
Do you get the same thing I get?
I either get the spicy chicken sandwich. No cheese because I'm not doing dairy right now.
Right.
Or sometimes I'll go with the tacos. And those egg rolls are kind of good too.
Okay. So
love the egg rolls.
Egg rolls are like
love
big.
The egg rolls.
Jack, my answer to this is Jack tacos.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
You can get like 2 for 99 cents. Yeah. I order 5 of them and just eat them all. And I don't even think
I'm not proud.
I don't even know what's in them. It's just a guilty pleasure.
Kind of meat, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably processed and bad for me. And but at least
I know.
I would say at least four times a year, I just say screw it.
Yeah.
Jack tacos. Bergman, how about you? What is your go-to guilty food pleasure?
I fight myself every day driving home to not go to Del Taco.
Yeah, I love
what do
Del
you get
Taco.
There?
I get there. I get the original chicken rollers, and then I just kind of mix around. Maybe I get a burrito. Maybe I get
that
some
was Del Taco
tacos.
Was my go to in high school.
Yeah,
there was a Del
Classic
Taco right near my
burritos,
high school.
Those are good.
Jorge,
there's a place near my house. Well, across the street from the high school, I went to Nogales Burgers. They have the best chili cheese fries. So every time I go by the exit on the freeway, I'm like, no, just keep going home.
Now, the difference between the four of us and Devontae Smith is Devontae Smith's an NFL wide receiver.
I know.
And I love the fact that he has no pretension about this.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's crazy? I got a Wawa addiction, honestly. Wawa sandwiches is just, I don't know. I literally eat one every day for some reason.
Which one's your favorite? Yeah.
The honey turkey.
Oh, you like the meatball?
No.
Yeah, so
honey turkey sounds good right now.
Right. But it's literally like
Mason's good to me right now.
Yeah. It's like Mason's reduced fat turkey bacon cheddar thing. It just seems to me that it's rare that a pro athlete will admit it in this day and age where you're watching everything you eat, everything you drink, everything it becomes this big thing. Good for Devontae. I'm gonna root for Devontae Smith now.
Mm-hmm.
That he stops and has a Wawa sandwich, basically a 7-Eleven sandwich every day.
Are we gonna get real? How real are we gonna get? It isn't F It Friday,
right?
All right. So, I have been known to stop at a, like when you stop for gas,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I got some stuff in there that AM/PM, right?
Oh, the one right over here.
Yeah.
The one that's literally right down
right,
the street.
Down the street.
From
especially when you're almost
com
out
arena.
Of, you're almost I may out of or gas may on
not,
the way home.
I may or may not have partaken in a Kulikoo yesterday at that very gas station.
So that AM/PM, when you're sometimes when I'm driving down and you're kind of running out of gas, and you're like, I'm going to have to stop and get some gas on the way home. Like, I can make it down there, but I shouldn't try to make it back really late at night. So you always know where all the gas stations are on your way home. I used to go to that one all the time because it's like the closest one to Staples Center or crypto.com now.
Right.
And that they do have the hot bar that you can get. Those little, like the chicken sandwiches there. Not bad.
Yeah, and then, by the way,
or the cheeseburgers.
I don't know what
the
letter grade is in that joint, but it's not good.
It's
but,
not as good late at night because they've been in the heater all day. So sometimes, like the bun, like I don't think I'm going to get sick from it because it's been overcooked at this point. But the bun is really hard, and you're like, I'm still going to eat that. Peel the hard part off.
Yeah. All right. I thought I saw this. Yeah.
Peel the stale part off.
I'm glad that we literally have no shame around.
Oh,
here.
No shame.
Okay, so this was kind of cool. Erica Weston, who I know and used to work with me over at KCAL KCBS, is now the Angels field reporter. And Erica was interviewing Taylor Ward's grandma the other day down in Tampa. So he heard, hey, her grandma, if you're like Trudell as it is now, I used to have to do it. If you're always looking in the stands for like parents, grandparents, best, any good story. So Erica's interviewing Taylor Ward's grandma, and Taylor Ward is at the plate, and listen to what happens.
Get a hit. How much fun was it watching him get that hit last night at the ballpark?
Oh, that's so good. So good. Yes.
How about that? I think Faye's the good luck charm. Can you believe that? Joe, you said right before we came back from break, you said, wouldn't it be nice to see Taylor hit one out of the yard? And it happened.
Caught it, though. That was pretty cool.
Put it all into the universe, guys. How about that? Taylor Ward getting the first run for the Halos. Go ahead.
Maybe we brought him a little luck.
I think so. I think you brought him a little bit of luck.
How great is that? They're talking to his grandma. Do you have any of your grandparents alive still?
None of my grandparents. Yeah, no.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I lost them all. So whenever I see somebody else's grandparent, I always get jealous because I was close to my grandparents. But the Angels have had a lousy season. Nothing's gone right. And so I thought that was really fun that Taylor Ward's up at the plate. They're talking to his grandma, who's probably in her 80s.
Yeah.
And then he jacks it out, which was cool.
That was
so
awesome.
Good for him. Good for Erica. All right, coming up next, Bergman will get in here. He's got Bobcat. He's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us, and we'll tackle it all next. Mason in Ireland on an Effort Friday. Momo in for Mace. ESPN LA.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. And so, Becky Hammond is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Aces. And it is the Las Vegas Aces, right? Yeah,
Las Vegas. Yep, you got it.
And so she is the number one seed in her first season as the Aces head coach. She led her team to a 26-10 record. She's the 2022 Commissioner's Cup champ and the 2022 WNBA Coach of the Year. So she's having a fantastic year. How soon do you think she'll be in the NBA coaching?
Maybe never. Greg, that's a ceiling that has not been broken. A female head coach in any of the four major sports, not just the NBA. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL, none of them have ever had a female head coach. And I could be politically correct and say, oh, it'll happen soon. She'll be break. But Ramona, that is a dynamic that is very hard to change at its core, that you would hire a woman, even someone as qualified as Becky Hammond, to run a locker room full of men. There's a reason that it's never happened. I'm not sure it will happen as long as you and I are on the planet.
I think there will be some woman someplace who has the right personality and the right fit, and it has to. And it's going to come down to the right organization too. Really has to have the stars align and on all facets. Has to be the right, because think about it like this. If you were an organization and you're going to be the one who hires the first female head coach, you got to make sure she's set up for a good situation, right? Like, I would not want it. Like, Will Hardy is a good up-and-coming young coach.
Came out of the Popovich tree, was in Boston.
In Boston.
He's now the head coach of the Jazz.
He's going to lose so many games next year.
Yeah.
But they're hiring him with that knowledge. They gave him, like, a five-year deal. He's a rookie head coach. The idea is that you find a young head coach who's going to grow with the team, and they're gonna lose, but they're going to build him up. If you were to, like, the type of job that would probably hire a female head coach is probably not going to be a championship level team that's just looking for a coach to put them over the top, right?
Right. Probably be like Orlando or somebody.
But they're going to lose a lot. And it's kind of a lot to put on somebody like Becky, right? In that situation. Like, you want her to succeed. Like, that was why when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, it was the right team, the right player, the right personality, the right time. They'd have a lot of things to line up.
So what is success for her, though? Is it if you took a team like Oklahoma City that had all these young guys and they just started making them better. Make them into the playoffs. That's success, right?
Yeah.
So it's not about getting to like a finals and winning a championship or anything right away, but it's just getting a team to be better. So
well,
isn't that something that's possible?
It's also getting someone to take a chance on you and to break through that glass ceiling.
Does she deserve that chance?
Well, deserve is probably not the right word. Will she get that chance realistically? It's just never happened.
Yeah.
Until I talk a lot with Mason about why no pro athlete has ever come out in his prime. We know there are gay players in every sport.
Well, Carl Nassib did.
But not like...
Not like superstar.
Right.
Or, yeah.
And you know, we know, just because we work in the media, we know guys who are at that level, superstar level, who are gay that just have decided for whatever reason not to come out. And I think there's a reason why it's never happened, Ramona. The first guy is going to go through some stuff.
Yep.
And you don't want to jeopardize your endorsement deals. You don't want to jeopardize future earnings. I actually think that that person would be, it would be a landing that they'd be heralded for. I mean, I think that it would be positive, but you can't make somebody do it.
Right.
You can't make one of these owners in pro sports hire a woman. But if you get the right woman, it would be really groundbreaking, and their history would be kind to them, I think.
Bobcat.
All right, so going to lighten it up just a little bit here. So Riley really wants a Ouija board.
Riley is Greg's 10-year-old daughter.
Yes, correct. And she really wants a Ouija board. I never played with a Ouija board. I mean, I always thought it was fake and someone was always pushing it.
Right.
But people swear by it and are freaked out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I allow Riley to get a Ouija board?
Harmless fun, in my opinion, Momo.
Yeah,
harmless
why not?
Fun. We, what now? Does she have a birthday or Christmas coming up?
Her birthday's in November, but she's
want to get it to be a good dad.
Yeah, just to be a good dad. Yeah, she wants to do it with the neighbor too. It's this whole thing.
I have zero issue with it. Jorge, what do you think?
No, man, hard pass. I'm a camera guy outside of here.
Yeah.
So one time in El Paso, they wanted to record something at a cemetery with a Ouija board, and I said, nope.
You guys, just too weird. Well, I mean, too weird. This is the, for lack of a better word, the beyond whatever right. is happening in the afterlife, which, you know, some people think Ouija boards can be used to communicate with those who are no longer with us, is a thing. Like I've told the story before. We stay in a couple hotels that are rumored to be haunted.
Yeah,
and they, like Lou Williams, when he played with us, would just check out of the hotel. That didn't even want to mess with it. My buddy Michael Koger, who runs Backstage Lakers, that we stay in two hotels that are rumored to be haunted. If they check us into one of those, Koger's out. He just goes down the street and checks into another hotel. Doesn't even want to mess with it. Greg, I've never been. I think it's harmless fun. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. Momo, you didn't say where you were.
You know, I would probably let her do it. However, I would watch.
Would you get her a magic 8-ball, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same but thing,
like
right?
But, like, let's make sure she's not into, like, some really occult stuff.
Well, like, but how do you really know if they are or not? Because she says things like, yeah, let's bring some demons.
Yeah, you never know.
Like, yeah.
You gotta check the Google search history.
I'm rethinking this based on Jorge's response.
Like I say, when in doubt, leave it out. Man.
Yeah, maybe not.
I generally think when a kid is interested in something like that, they're going to find a way to do it, and I'd rather have it kind of sanctioned in-house rather than outside the house. Because if you say no, she'll find some other place.
Because she loves horror movies, like obsessed
with
horror movies.
Yeah, why lean into that? I'm now with Jorge. You've won me over. It took 1 minute to swing it the other way.
Wow, Jorge, you got John to change his mind on something.
I went from harmless fun to, why encourage a goth phase for young Riley? No.
Yeah, I think it might be a little weird. Okay.
Bobcat.
What you got, Jorge?
Okay, so I came across this on Twitter last night. What are you addicted to right now? Me, Rice Krispie Treats, the chocolate kind. I ate a bowl yesterday when I got home, and I ate a bowl this morning, and it's supposed to be for my day.
For me, Bavarian pretzels, those hard pretzels, the big ones.
The Snyders?
I have them every day.
Huh.
Momo?
What am I into right now? I've been making a lot of turkey sandwiches.
Well, you could go to Wawa. You might see Devontae Smith.
I just do the same turkey sandwich like every morning. I've been having that for breakfast because there's a lot of foods that are off the table for me when I cut dairy. Like you can't have anything with butter and no cheese and all this. And I just take a piece. This is kind of like when I started my diet before. I would always just eat half. So whatever, like I just take one piece of bread and a little bit of mayo and some turkey and fold it over, and like that's what I eat every single morning now.
Greg?
I am into these, they're called Bubbies, and they're kosher dill pickles.
Yeah,
and
I know those.
Oh, they're the pregnant? Greatest.
No, I love them. I eat them all the time. I
those
order them every
sweet.
Single week.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're not sweet. They're like garlicky.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, that's you put all those items together that the four of us just mentioned.
It's a
meal. Pretty disgusting plate.
Which one?
Yeah, all right, Bergman.
Pickles. I put some of those Bubbies on my turkey sandwich. I could do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you absolutely could.
Yeah.
It'd be delicious, too.
Bobcat.
All right, so there is South Carolina Gamecocks, they had a mascot named Sir Big Spur.
Okay.
And Sir Big Spur.
Was it an actual Gamecock?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they, it changed owners, and now they have to change the name as well. So there are they're giving odds for the potential South Carolina new live mascot names. So I'm just going to read them out to you, and I'll give them the odds, and you tell me which one you like best.
Okay.
Okay. Coop at -125. Cluck Norris at +100.
Cluck Norris, I like.
Captain Cluck at +150. Kickin' Chicken, +300.
Oh, I like that.
The General, +500. Marco Pollo, +750.
Like that.
Brewster, +900. Mr. Chicken Scratch, +1,000. Cock-a-doodle Dude, +2,000. And then at +10,000, Cock Commander. What is the best name here?
Well, we could have a lot of fun with Cock Commander.
It's a +10,000.
Yeah.
You can make some money on that one.
I think...
I like Brewster.
I like Kickin' Chicken.
Kickin' Chicken?
Yeah, wasn't that one
Cluck
of them?
Yeah, it was. Cluck Norris, I think.
Yeah, Marco Polo. Marco Pollo.
Marco Pollo. Yeah, Marco Pollo is pretty good.
Except it's probably something, Greg, that's going to last like 75 years, and nobody will know who Cluck Norris is, you know?
Oh, but then he'll live forever.
Yeah, Kickin' Chicken is it can kind of live in infamy.
I think the best thing with the I like nicknames that are short and to the point. It's like Brewster,
Coop.
Coop, that's good.
General.
Yeah, the General.
Although that short. That doesn't General sets it up to be changed later because they're in the South.
Oh yeah, that's a
bad
idea.
And it's Civil War, and you know they're taking down all the monuments and. You know, yeah, so I think you got to stay away from anything Civil War related.
That's a good call.
Bobcat.
All right. So, NBA memes is just a site on Twitter, and it says players Lakers have traded in the last 5 years. Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, Randall, Zubats, Caruso, THT, KCP, Hart, Clarkson, Nance, Lopez as in Brooke Lopez. That's a championship team in itself, LOL. Do you see that
no, it's
team?
Not.
Yeah, okay, yeah. What do you think of that team as anywhere near a championship team?
I announced the games for that team for years. They didn't even make the playoffs. People are, you know, the only people left from the championship team 2 years ago are LeBron and AD.
Yep.
People forget that that team won a title. I mean, a lot of those players went in the Anthony Davis trade, Momo.
Yeah.
And it got you a title, which is the objective to win the game. There's nobody on that list. I love Lonzo. It's the guys that left free agency-wise, Momo, that I like Randall and I think Randall turned into an all-star after he left.
Yeah.
I'm Caruso. I really miss, but other than that, I can live with everything they've
I actually
done.
Think the only one that you named right now that would fit on the current team, okay? So the current team,
actually fit on it.
Fit would be Brooke Lopez,
not Caruso.
But Caruso would fit,
yeah,
he'd fit. But I think Brooke Lopez would be a lot of what they need. They've been looking for a stretch five ever since he left.
Yeah,
you're a good defensive player, good stretch five. The other guys need the ball too much. Like, B.I. is a really good player, but
Lonzo
he needs the ball.
Lonzo needs the ball
needs
in his hand. Yeah, Randall probably needs the ball. Yeah, it's a good point.
They wouldn't play well with LeBron.
And the only question you're asking now is, who does fit with LeBron?
That's right.
Which is, like anybody who listens to the station knows, I was, like, the biggest Westbrook fan in the world. He plays harder than everybody else, really fun to watch. I just don't think he fits with LeBron. Darvin says he's got a plan to make him fit with LeBron. We'll see if they even let him try it. But... you're right. Fit is a big part of anything Rob looks at and does. Does he fit with what we have now? Does he work with LeBron and AD? A lot of those guys, Greg, don't.
Bobcat.
All right, so Charles Barkley was on 98.7 Arizona Sports Station. And he
lives there in the offseason.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
So he was on it, and he said that he called Kevin Durant Mr. Miserable, and as the best player and being the leader that goes all with that, he's been an abject failure. How do we feel about that?
I don't know if you can call KD a failure. He's won
as a leader.
He's won two rings in the last 4 years.
Was he the leader?
No, but he was the best player. Won Finals MVP twice. He may not be like vocal Magic Johnson leadership type, but I'd rather have him with me than against me, Momo.
Mm-hmm.
I think Durant's a great player.
Yeah, I mean I know what Charles is saying. I wouldn't say it that way, but that's. probably why he makes what he makes and I make what I make. he's really good at saying things like that, get us all talking. There is some quality that when you have it, when you were on, like, Kevin was on a team in Golden State that was going to contend for the finals every single year.
Right. Probably won't be the favorite.
And I've covered the Warriors, and like that group of players, coaches, front office, ownership is to me right now the best organization in the league. And there's a reason why they keep winning, is because from ownership to the front office, to the coaching, to players, like they're all in alignment. They have a great culture there. People tend to be happy when they're in Golden State. So it was just weird. I don't see many people, like, I even like going there because they're a joy to work with compared to other franchises that we have to deal with in the media. Mm. So it was weird to leave a situation like that. Why would you want to leave? Like, you have it great. So I know where Charles is, what he's talking about. And plus, it hasn't worked out very well for them in Brooklyn. And then he's asked out. So there is a quality that I think KD's career will be defined by what comes next, because he made a choice to go there, which then defined him as the guy who joined the championship team. He made a choice to leave there, which made him a guy who chose to leave the championship team. But what comes next? Like, he's 33, 34? He's got some time left. I'm not gonna write him off yet.
Yeah, I would take Durant rather. I'd rather him with me than against me, Greg. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, of course, he's one of the best players in the world. But you know, as a leader, hasn't been the greatest.
All right, you got one more. Yep. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
He's got a little A-Rod to him.
Yeah. Coming up next. What non-politician? All right. So somebody who's not in the world of politics would make the best president. You might be surprised at who is out there and being asked about it. We'll get into that next. Momo and Fermace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.